preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, Lord. Father, we declare today you are great and you're greatly to be praised. Thank you, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. God of heaven and earth, Creator, Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we worship you, Almighty God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth. We ask you, Lord God, to help us today. We invite you to just be here, to speak to us, through us. Continue to strengthen your people, to change our lives, to get us grounded and established in the truth. Let the light of the gospel, the light of your word go forth and truly bring people out of darkness, out of deception. For we pray that Satan's power be broken today in people's lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Everything working good back there? We welcome those listening by Blog Talk Radio this morning. And we welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church. We're going to get into something we've kind of covered before, but of course that doesn't mean we should never cover it again. Amen. We're going to talk today a little bit about answer the question, is God of the Bible, the God of the Bible, the God of genocide, or the judge of the Nephilim? And the reason I bring this up again, I taught on this probably, I don't know, maybe over a year ago, it's been longer, and we've discussed it quite a bit, but the subject keeps coming up in the news, and I want to read this first. There was a pretty famous Christian rap music star in the UK that recently denounced his faith in Jesus Christ. He was probably the most well-known Christian rapper in England, Britain, and, you know, in the UK. And he denounced his faith in Jesus. And I read this story last week, but it just kept coming back to my mind. And this is in Charisma News. Christian rapper renounces his faith in Jesus Christ as great falling away continues. Now, the reason I'm going to bring this up, and I want to cover this again, and it's kind of a continuation of last week, because last week we talked about the blasphemy of Yahweh, and we talked about how the world is twisting things. And I played for you the trailer of the upcoming movie X-Men Apocalypse, and how the evil character that's coming claims to be Ra, Krishna, Yahweh, and that the X-Men mutants, the half-breeds, which would be the Nephilim, are the good guys to fight Yahweh when he comes back to judge humanity. And so I realized, I didn't really plan it this way, but just as I looked at this article and some other things, I just felt like that we needed to address this again, and we have new listeners all the time, and it won't hurt for you guys to get this down in one more time. But this Christian rapper, his name is, Jahaziel or something like that, says he's no longer Christian. This is right before Christmas. He began a series of comments on Facebook and on Twitter. He said, "A short while ago, I turned away from 20 years as a professing Christian. I had a good job with a church organization, a house provided by the church, a large social circle of like-minded people, a career in gospel music, a worldwide fan base, a respected reputation and status within Christian and non-Christian circles." He went on to say, he said, he posted a follow-up to those who were questioning his decision, and he said, "You can believe the Bible and its God all you want, but to me, he just demands my fear because he cannot earn my respect." He said, "I cannot possibly agree that he is love unless I ignore all the men, women, and little children he has slaughtered throughout the entire Bible," the post reads. "But maybe," he said, "some people's Christian lenses won't allow them to see that. Cool. Mine didn't, either for a long time. He said, "I have tasted and seen, and my conclusion is that Christianity, its flawed book, bloodthirsty God, and mythical Savior, I have found unsatisfactory and unworthy of my allegiance or worship unless by threatening to kill me if I don't, as Christianity does." So basically, in this falling away that's happening, and among many people, really, even atheists, let me read to you what the leading atheist Richard Dawkins has to say about our God, the God of the Bible. This is what he says. He says, "The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty, ethnic cleanser, a misogynist, woman-hater, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal," he just goes on, "megalomaniacal, sadomasochist." Anyway, he just calls him a bully. Now, this is the atheist, and this is primarily one of the biggest arguments you hear from atheists, agnostics, non-Christians. Even when the subject of the violence within Islam comes up, people always point to, well, why did God order the Israelites to wipe out certain groups of people, like the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites? Why did God do that? And here's the deal with all of this. I love how the world, the atheists, the agnostics, and even like this Christian rapper, I love how they love to say, take one part of the Bible as being literal, like God slaughtering or having his people slaughter these people groups, but they do not happen to take into consideration the context. If you're going to take one part as literal and true and real, You have to take the other part as literal and true and real in the context. If you're going to take the story, you got to take the whole story. For instance, let's say that you heard the story. There was a story that the true story was that some evil, murdering, rapist, psychopath came to Pastor Dean's house and broke in and was trying to hurt Nancy and Faith, and Pastor Dean filled him full of bullet holes. Okay? Now, that's the whole story. In the context, I was justified in my action, right? I was defending my wife and my child from dangerous, murderous people who were trying to bring us harm coming in my house. But if you just said in the story, if you just took part out and said, Pastor Dean shot and killed three people, you see what you just did? You didn't put the story in its proper context, so it makes me look like the bad guy. This is what the world does. This is what the agnostics, the atheists, the people who want to be Gnostics in the sense of believing that the God of the Old Testament is not the same God of the New Testament, and they divide the two. What they don't understand is the context of the story. And most Christians, and this is what's so sad, most Christians do not even believe the context of the story. Because when you start looking this up, when you start looking up, why did God wipe out these people groups? And what is this thing about the giant? What are these Nephilim? What are they? Do we take the story that God wiped out the Amalekite, King Og of Bashan and his people, but we don't put it in the context that King Og was 15 feet tall, that King Og was not quite human? Once we put that into context, we realize that God was dealing with something else other than human beings. You say, well, that sounds far out. That sounds out there. No, it doesn't. Don't tell me, Christian, that you believe in a supernatural God who is almighty, all-powerful, able to create the heavens and the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars and human beings and the trees and all the animals. He's able to create. He has this power to create everything. But there couldn't be a real devil who actually also has supernatural power and also has some evil supernatural being. Do you hear what I'm saying? We can't pick and choose. Can I say this? In the Christian realm, in the church realm, all deception enters in when we either choose to believe a lie or we choose not to believe what is in the Bible or the whole truth. The moment you choose, I believe this part of the Bible, but I don't believe this, you are open to deception. You are open to anything the devil wants to throw at you. And that's why you have to take this book as a whole, or don't take it at all. You have to take it in its context, or you do not understand what was going on. Real simple. I mean, let me read I could go on Richard Dawkins' website. I was on, I can't remember, not his website, but it was some atheist forum looking at this. And he went down to say, you know, look at God wiping out the people or the wiping out the earth with the flood. And I was like, yeah, and we know why. Now, let me say, as we get into this, because I'm going to give you the scriptures and we're going to dig into this even further, but Jesus made this statement. This is Luke 24, 25 through 27. You can turn there if you like. Yeah, I happen to believe the whole book. And I love how these people talk about contradictions. I've been studying the Bible for over 30 years because I started before I rededicated my life to the Lord in 1987. I actually got saved in 1979. been in the church world and in the Bible and in Sunday school really since I was 5 years old. So if we want to get real technical about it, I remember going to the Assembly of God Church, First Assembly of God in Opelika, when I was 4 and 5 years old, and hearing people speak in tongues and tongues and interpretation in church, and hearing the Word of God preached, and being in Sunday school with that church. So really, I could say over 40 years of being in the church, studying the Bible, I've never found these contradictions they talk about. It's funny, I've gone on to college campuses, and I've heard people say, oh, you know, the Bible's full of contradictions. I said, really, have you read it? Where, could you show me one? Here's the Bible, show me a contradiction. Yeah, exactly. You just repeat something that you've heard someone say, but you have no proof whatsoever. We must take it in its context. This is the most important aspect. Just like, you know, we had this, the whole thing that caused the Ferguson riot in Missouri, the Mike Brown case, right? Now, if you heard certain people say certain things, you'd say, yeah, the cop just shot the guy with his hands up. Hands up, don't shoot, right? But then you find out that the big 300-pound guy assaulted the officer as he's in his car, tried to reach for his gun, the gunfire inside the car as they fought over the gun, and you find out that there's more to the story, right? But we had a bunch of people jump on just a story not in its context and started an entire riot and protest movement. Does that mean there are no bad cops? No. There's bad cops. But if you don't have the whole story, how can you make a correct judgment on the matter? Right? Now, the context of the flood, right, is what? Evil. But before we get there, what did I tell you? I told you Luke. I'm not going to jump ahead. I'm going to back it up. Luke 24, Jesus said this. Speaking to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, as he hid from them who he was, he said unto them, Jesus did, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And then beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus says, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Right? And if you read on down, he goes on to say, then Jesus expounded all things in, he said, the law of Moses, and in the Psalms, and in the prophets concerning himself. Those things were considered scriptures. Jesus considered those things truth, scripture. And he basically says to them, you are a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. You hear what I'm saying? You end up being a fool. Why did this rapper fall away from his faith? It's real simple. He didn't believe all of the prophets. He didn't take the Bible in its context. He didn't look at the character and nature of God, the character and nature of evil, and how sometimes evil has to be punished. Evil has to be removed. If evil is not punished and evil is not removed, then guess what? All good will be destroyed. And sometimes God acts to remove evil. Right? Let me give you another one real quick. Just about the Word of God. I love this. 2 Timothy 3:14. He says this, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now, I know I've harped on this recently, this passage. But again, Jesus said, you're fools if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. Then he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for correction, right? All scripture. Then he defined what scripture was, the law of Moses, the Psalms, the prophets. So he tells us all that. We have the Old Testament scriptures, right? Jesus made this statement, Matthew 4:4. You're taking notes. I think we were discussing this the other night with Paul and Marlene, but how important this passage of scripture is. Matthew 4:4 has always been my philosophy of ministry. You want to know Pastor Dean's philosophy of ministry? Here it is. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There has always been a deep revelation, a deep understanding in my heart that every word of God is important. Every word of God inspired, that he had his prophets and his apostles write in the Holy Scriptures, that every single word, every single passage, every single truth is important and all interconnected. I literally have people, I have Christians, I have spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christians tell me there are certain things that I should not preach on that are in the Bible. I literally have people tell me, that's not important. And I'm like, not important. The God of creation, in the last chapter of the book of John, John makes this statement, there are many things that Jesus did. He said, if they should be written, the world itself could not contain the book. Right? So if there was so much that Jesus did and so many things that God did really in the Old Testament, what he's saying is there were so many things that God has done in history, in creation, with his people, in both mercy and forgiveness and healing and miracles and judgment and wrath and correction and punishment. There's so many things that have been done, the world itself could not contain all the books. So what did God do? He said, I'm going to give them something they can handle. I'm not going to give it all to them because they can't handle it all. I'm going to give them a book. We're going to condense everything down. We're not going to waste any space. I'll give them what I want them to have. And I'll give them my Holy Spirit to teach it to them, to lead them and guide them into all truth. But they need to learn this one lesson. The people of God need to learn this one lesson more than anybody else. The Christians in the world. We want the world to take the Bible in context, but we won't. But we need to get this down. God gave us his word, and every word is important. Every truth is important. And everything that he revealed, because he knew we would need. Okay? He didn't waste his breath. He didn't waste the time of his prophets and his apostles. He didn't waste any space in his book. Put what he wants. Right? And he says that you and I live. We live by every word. I mean, I could really just stop here and just preach this over and over and over again until it settles in your heart. Must. Every word, 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 every word. Right? I see Christians who end up in either dead religion, they end up in sin, they end up in dead tradition, they end up deceived by doctrines of men or cult leaders, or they end up just, you know, with wrong ideas, or they end up like this Christian rapper, completely backslidden and becoming an apostate because they didn't take every word. real simple. There's another one. One more. I'll give you. I love this one. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Actually, there's two more, but this one's good here. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The Lord is able, the Creator, the intelligent designer of heaven and earth, and Adam and Eve, and mankind, and our DNA. He is able to preserve His word. Amen. And then He proved it to us. You know, there were a lot of people that didn't believe that the Bible that we have today was the Bible they had back thousands of years ago. Do you know that? And then they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And guess what they found out? The Bible we have today is the same Bible they had in 300 B.C. My, my, my. Right? I love this one. I'm going to read one more before we get into the whole Nephilim discussion. Proverbs 30. I'm going to talk about a prophetic passage right here. Proverbs 30, verse 1 through 6 here, he says, the words of Agur, the son of Jakah, even the prophecy, the man spake to Israel, even unto Israel and Uncal, and I hope I'm saying these right. Surely, he says, I am more brutish than any man. Basically saying, I'm more stupid than any man, and have not understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? If thou can tell, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add not thou to his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. And I made a little note right there when it says, add not to his words. I just said, don't try to explain away things with human reasoning. You know? When God says in Genesis 6 that fallen angels came down and had sexual relations with human women, and there was born unto them giants, men of renown, Nephil, fallen one. When God's word says that, we either believe it or we don't believe it. What I have discovered in my studies is that most of pastors in this world, in America, especially in the West, and the seminaries and the Bible schools that train them, have taught them that this is not so, that the angels did not come down, fallen angels did not come down, did not have sexual relations with women, that this is a reference to the seed of Seth versus the seed of Cain. And I sit here going, where do they get this from? What they're doing is trying to explain away something that is, yes, supernatural. It is the supernatural world intermingling with our physical world. And God is just, he's revealed to us. I mean, we go to the book of Genesis and we find out, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and then it said he made man, Adam, and he made woman, Eve, and he put them in the garden. And then we see this serpent come into the garden, Satan, Lucifer, the old dragon, the serpent, to deceive Eve and get her to sin or disobey God so that sin would enter into mankind and enter into the earth. So we see from the very beginning, God shows us in creation, in the beginning of the human race, that there's always been an evil entity there, a fallen angel. And then he gives us, he had the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all these others explain to us, as time went on, explain to us about Lucifer, the fallen angel, Hallel, his real name, that he was an anointed cherub in heaven, that he
that he was really, I believe, over worship, because it says he was had built-in tabrets and pipes. I believe there were three archangels. Archangel means chief angel. And I believe the three were Michael, Gabriel, and Hallel, or who we call Lucifer now, Satan. And Michael is the angel of war, and Gabriel was the angel of, basically, of prophecy, of messages, taking messages to God's people. And Hallel, Lucifer, was worship, music. That's why he wants worship. But we see that. And in Genesis, there's an interesting thing revealed. Turn to Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15. Are you there yet? After Adam and Eve sin and they fall, and the Lord has to come down and deal with the problem, Genesis 3:15, we see, well, we read verse 14. And this is after the woman said that the serpent beguiled her, deceived her, and she ate. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now here, we read over this. God told us there would be two seeds, posterity, in the earth. Human beings and something else. The seed of the woman is human beings. Right? The seed of the serpent is something else. Here's the amazing thing. Because they're half human, they look like us. I'm going to freak y'all out. See, I believe there are beings walking around among us that we think are human, but they're not. Where do you think all the legends of vampires and werewolves? Monsters come from. The Russians recently found a little box, gold in it. What's interesting is that the box was from the Nazi era. You know, the Germans were in search of creating a genetic super race. What everybody didn't tell you is that they were really in the search of how to create a race to bring back the Nephilim, right? But they found this box with the ancient symbol of one of the Nazi secret societies on it. And inside the box were these two skulls. They were unlike anything that you've ever seen. Horned, humanoid creatures. You're like, that's neat, man. No, they found them in Israel, too. You know, there's a valley in Israel called the Valley of Rephaim. You can go there to this day. That's fancy Hebrew. We don't know what that means. The Valley of the Giant, right? There's a stone monument there that looks much from the air like a crop circle. But this was the area known for where the giants lived, where many of them were. Where King Og of Bashan was, right? But I want you to see this. Between thy seed and her seed. So he told us there would be the seed of man, there would be human beings, and there would be the seed of the serpent, something else. And he said that I'm going to put enmity. There will be war between your seed, the seed of the human beings, and the seed of this other creature, this other species. Now, we don't like to hear this because this is not what we were taught in our churches. This is not what I was taught in my little Baptist church. Right? But this is Bible. Now, I'm going to show you something else. I want you to flip to Daniel 2. We see it in the beginning, and hold your spot in Genesis because we're coming back there. But Daniel 2, y'all there? I know we're going kind of slow this morning, but I want you to get it. Daniel chapter 2. Now this is talking about, this is the statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw, and Daniel giving the interpretation of what God was telling him. And he's talking about the final kingdom of the Antichrist, the beast, and the ten kings. And he tells us something here about this final kingdom of the Antichrist that doesn't make sense unless you understand that there would be a different species of what looked to be like human beings but would not be on the earth. All right? Because he says this, and I'm going to read Daniel chapter 2, verse 40. He says, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, as iron breaketh all these, it shall break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part potter's clay and part iron, the kingdom shall be divided. There shall be in it the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay." So he's talking about the kingdom of the Antichrist. Because what Nebuchadnezzar saw was this statue, and the final kingdom was the feet, and it was mixed with iron and clay, and it had ten toes. And he said that final kingdom is going to be part iron, part clay. It's going to be partly strong in places, partly weak in other places. It's going to have ten kings, the ten toes of the ten kings. But then he adds this little understanding, verse 43. He says, "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay," look at this next phrase, "they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men." Hold on a second now. If all we have is mankind, human beings, the descendants of Adam and Eve, who were created in the image of God, who are these, who are they that are mingling themselves with mankind, mixing themselves with mankind? Fallen angels, apostates, right? Now, of course, the Illuminati-run History Channel and Ancient Aliens will tell you it's aliens from some other planet out there that mingled themselves with mankind. Because you know what? The DNA studies have come forth to show that they've discovered skeletons, and they've run DNA tests on them, and they found that the mother to be human, but the father was not, and they cannot figure out who the father was. And if you don't believe me, look up Star Children. And watch the Star Children episode of Ancient Aliens. There's one particular skeleton, the Star Child skeleton, that they've done DNA testing on, and they said the mother's human, but the father was not human. They don't even know what he was. So what I'm telling you has been proven by scientists who are honest. Right? L.A. Marzulli and them have had DNA tests run. But he says, "They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another." It's not going to work. Now let's back up to Genesis 6. The days of Noah. Genesis 6. Verse 1, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that." when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so it repented the Lord that he had made man, and he decided what he would do. Now, the sons of God, this term in the Old Testament, you go to Job 38, and you find out the sons of God are the angels. He said the sons of God were there when God created the heavens and the earth, before he created man. So the sons of God here are the angels. Job chapter 1 reveals it as well, too. And he says the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. We let the Bible interpret the Bible. But the book of Enoch also reveals this very clearly, that there were 200 fallen angels led by one named Azazel, which I believe is just another name for Satan. Some believe he was a different angel, but the devil's taken many names. You know, he's like a good criminal. He takes many aliases. Right? But anyway, these were born of them. Now look what it says, and I find this interesting. If you go down to verse 8 of Genesis 6, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now wait a minute now. Was God saying that Noah's generation, that he was perfect and never sinned? Because the Bible says there's never been a man that has not sinned. All have sinned. Right? That means Noah sinned. That means Noah's father, Lamech, his father, Methuselah. It means they sinned. Right? We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But this is talking about when it says Moses, that Noah was perfect in his generations, mean that he was not tainted with this Nephilim bloodline. Because what the devil's goal, remember, the devil had been warned by God, I'm going to put enmity between your seed and her seed. He will bruise, you will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. The Lord in Genesis 3:15 basically said, from the seed of the woman, from the human race, I'm going to bring forth the one who will crush you and destroy you, Satan. You hear that? So Satan in his mind goes, I am going to destroy the human race by genetic pollution. What's the idea? If you're going to have a purebred dog, what do you have to do? You have to keep the same ones together, right? If you want a pure lab or you want a pure whatever, you got to keep the same dogs together, breeding together, right? But if you take a lab and a German Shepherd, you're going to get something else, right? That's not quite lab and not quite German Shepherd, right? And that's okay in the animal world to a point. But this is what the devil decided, to get rid of the human race so that the Messiah cannot come as a human being. The seed of the woman come to crush me. And he already knew who the Word of God was. The devil fully knew what that meant. He's like, I am going to pollute the human race. Now, what's so wild is that this is happening again. This is happening now. We'll get to that in a minute. But this is what had happened by the time of Noah. The fallen angels had come down on Mount Hermon, and they had begun to have sexual relations with human women. And they had begun to become men of renown, and so they were stronger. They had supernatural powers. This is where you get all this stuff. Hercules. Hercules, the story of Hercules, that he is the son of Zeus, that he was half human and half God. And that he had supernatural strength. Why do you think God gave David and his mighty men and Samson supernatural strength to fight the Philistines? Well, the Philistines were descendants of the Nephilim. So they had supernatural strength and power and stature and size. So God gave them supernatural, he gave his people supernatural strength to deal with them. That's why you read the stories of David's mighty men, like, what was his name? What was his name? Oh, I can't remember. Dodo. Elhanah, Dodo, the son of the Ahohite. I mean, these men, it said, would take a sword and fight 800 men by themselves. No normal human man in his own strength could fight 800 men and win with a sword. But a man empowered by God was fighting men empowered by the devil. You understand? It's all over the Bible, right? So let's go to Numbers chapter 13. You all right with it? See, this is the context of our story. Say, was God a God of genocide? Or was he judging and dealing with the fallen angels, half-breeds called the Nephilim, the Raphaim, the Emani, the Zamzumin, the Perizzites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Amalekites? Let's read this. Are you there? Numbers 13. The Lord's getting ready for them to go into the land of Canaan, right? Remember, he told them, I'm going to give you the land of the Canaanites. I'm going to give you the land of, and he names them, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and he names the list of these people, the Jebusites, right? And so he sends in spies before he goes in. So let's look at this, verse 17, Numbers 13, 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward, go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, and whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. And so he sent these spies in. So they come back. Look at verse 28. He says, the spies told them, nevertheless, he said, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought an evil report of the land that they had searched through the children of Israel, said that the land which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. All the people we saw in it, listen to this, all the people we saw in it are men of great stature, giant. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Do you hear that? We went to the land that you told us, God, you're giving us. But what did we see? All the people that dwell in that land, Amorites, Hittites, Jebusites, were men of great stature, the children of Anak, giants, telling us they were the half-breed. They were the descendants of the fallen angels who had sexual relations with human women and had birthed these genetically defiled, evil, fully human. So hear what I'm saying. You can go and you can read Deuteronomy chapters 1 through 3. I'm not going to read it this morning, but he lists them out. Okay? And they were, every report about it, and if we didn't have children in here this morning that this would scare, I would play the video. There's a Japanese movie coming out, or maybe it's already come out, I don't know, about the Titans. How many have heard the term Titan? Greek mythology, right? But remember, not mythology. The Titans were half God, half human, some great giant, right? I mean, this story, matter of fact, these stories of half-breeds, I mean, we have it today, right? The Avengers, with a Thor. These stories have continued. They're in every culture, in the Hopi Indians, and the Cherokee Indians. So there are Indians out west that said that they fought a great race of tall, red-headed giants that would terrorize their people and were cannibals. And that the Indians finally had enough of it and chased them all into a cave and then plugged up the cave and set the cave on fire, the front of it, and killed them all in there. But there's a Japanese movie, and I can't remember the exact name, it has to do with the Titans, but it's interesting because it said all humanity is protected by a wall. Yeah, what's interesting, remember we've talked about the dome, right? And Enoch said outside that dome there were creatures and entities, right? That all humanity is protected by this wall, this Japanese movie. But the Titans came, and they started breaking through the wall, and they began devouring humans again, and these giants, huge, right? The movie goes on to say they weren't immortal, though. They were immortal, but they weren't invincible, meaning you could kill them, but you needed to, if you injured them, you needed to cut their head off to make sure that they didn't come back to life because they had great powers of regeneration. All right? What I find is interesting about that is you see David when he kills Goliath. It says that the stone sunk into Goliath's forehead, into his brain. It means the boy was dead. Right? But David said, not good enough. So cut his head off. What's interesting is there was a movie and a TV series that came out. Anybody remember Highlander? Duncan MacLeod of the Clan MacLeod. Remember? Right? But the story was that they were immortal. They were the princes of the universe. They were these human beings who were special. They had a different bloodline mixture, and they were immortal, and the only way you could kill them, cut their head off. And if you were the one that cut their head off and you were another immortal Nephilim mixture, you got their power. Pagans believe these people believe that they actually get power from sacrificing humans and consuming their blood and their flesh. This is what the Mayans did, the Incas, and so on down the line. This is what Satanists do to this day. You hear me? They don't do it just for fun. They do it because they believe they get power from it, life from it, the life force. I know it sounds crazy, but this is the reality in which we live, right? Well, this movie, you've got that, and you've got, I mean, there's just many of them where it talks about. This is why I believe that the demon-possessed, crazy people of Islam are obsessed with cutting off Christians' heads. See, this is what you don't understand, is Satan and his seed and his demons and his fallen angels look at the Jews and us now as part of the Jews. They look at us as the ones who killed their family. They look at Moses and Joshua as the ones who were tried to wipe them out. This is what you have to understand, that this war between the people of God, the human race, the real human race, and the half-breed, fallen angel, Nephilim, half-human, is still going on. I believe the Illuminati 13 family will tell you. You ever heard the term blue blood? The term blue blood means that you have a different bloodline. You're different than other humans. They put some of this stuff too under microscopes, electron microscopes. It gets pretty interesting. What I'm talking to you is not crazy. Matter of fact, all American presidents are related. It can all be traced back to two kings of Europe, one being Charlemagne, the first king of the Holy Roman Empire. But they said there's this group in England that can predict the winner of any presidential race in America, and has done so every time, because what they know is the ancestral bloodlines of these kings. And they said whoever has more of the bloodlines of the ancestral kings will become the president of the United States. And it's happened every single time. Because what they're finding out is the people who have these Nephilim bloodlines in them tend to be more able to operate in witchcraft and clairvoyance and psychic phenomena and power. They actually hunt for these people. Do you know that there's government agencies in different governments of the world that actually spend their time hunting for these people that have this different blood and this different DNA and these abilities to do? And the war is coming now. The pipe. What they say was, you go to the Book of Enoch, you go to the stories of all these, even the stories of American Indians, Native Americans. And they will tell you giants were here. Giant mounds were found all over Ohio, Pennsylvania. Everywhere giants were here. A lot of you don't even know what America means, the name America means, land of the plumed serpent. This place was once inhabited by giants, long before anyone else came. The Indians knew them well, fought them. Some of the Indians intermingled with them. And you have different degrees of Nephilim bloodline that come down. Now let me say this though. Well, man, could I have some of this Nephilim bloodline in me? Hey, you could. Here's the good news. Blood of Jesus can fix anything. Because when it says the Son of God was manifested, 1 John chapter 3 and 4, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. When it says that those who believe on the Son of God, Jesus, it says, to them gives he power to become, what? The sons of God. Right? God takes our dead spirit and life and everything and creates a brand new. That's why he says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature or new creation, a whole new species of being. So I'm not saying there's no hope. I'm just telling you that we're dealing with genetic evil on a supernatural level. And Jesus made this statement in Luke 17. He said it in Matthew 24. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. You ask and wonder how come some people can be so evil. I'll tell you why. I believe it's the seed of Satan. Not everyone. Right. Any person can choose to be evil. Right? We have a free will. We can choose to do what is right or what is wrong. But there are some people we go, how can they do this? I'm going to say this. This may be controversial. It might get me in trouble. I don't care what I believe. I look at what's happening with the Muslim invasion of Europe and the epidemic of rape and murder and violence. We look at ISIS, we look at Boko Haram, we look at all these different Muslim groups, and you sit there and you go, how can anyone be so evil as to think that they can rape anybody they want, kill anybody they want, torture, maim, have slaves? I mean, you know what I'm saying? How? I mean, I've seen now in Europe, there's just an epidemic of rape and murder. And it's the Syrian refugee that they're bringing here to the U.S., by the way. And I believe this firmly. I believe we're dealing with a group of people, a race of people from this ancient Middle Eastern land that are just full of Nephilim bloodline and DNA. And see, to say, why did God order them to completely wipe out, like the Amalekites? He told them, he said, go kill their men, their women, their children, and even their animals. All of it. Because let me tell you, there are some people groups, there are some groups that are so, and we have them in the scriptures, I believe we still have them today, you can't make peace with. They will not have peace. You can't have peace unless two parties are willing to sit down and agree to peace. Right? And if someone is bent upon being evil and bent upon your destruction like Hitler was, you know, all these pacifist Christians, I don't really understand. Hitler was determined to take over the whole world and to wipe out anyone he didn't deem was racially pure in his eyes. And you got to remember, he was really occult-driven, satanic-driven, and it was all about this Nephilim bloodline. That means anybody that wasn't, and particularly the Jews, because the Jews had been the enemies of the Nephilim, we wiped the Jews out. And we wiped out anybody. And when a man is that evil, and he has that many evil people with him, and they're determined to kill and rape and torture and destroy, there is no way you have peace. He must be stopped. By force. Had not America picked up arms and fought Germany and defeated Hitler, we would all be, if we were still living, we would be speaking German. You understand? And don't let there be a trace of Jew found in you, because you wouldn't be allowed you to live. People say, well, this sounds like you're talking about, you know, you sound like Hitler was talking about the master race. No, I'm talking about what the Bible says. There's the seed of the woman, seed of mankind, and there's the seed of the serpent. There are those who have come, the fallen angels, and mingled themselves with the seed of men. Not everyone that we think is human, human. So when God had Moses, Joshua, David, remember King Saul got in trouble because he was ordered to destroy all the Amalekites and he wouldn't do it. In fact, the Amalekites were known as horrible vampire-like beings. Some of their skeletons are quite scary. But he was ordered to wipe them out. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, let me end with this. There's so much to this, but I just felt like I needed to reiterate this again. The reason it appears that God committed genocide and wiped out people, entire people groups, is not because they weren't people. You hear what I'm saying? They were these half-human, half-fallen angels, evil entities that were bent upon wiping out the human race. And so sometimes he would deal with them like he did with the flood and start over. I mean, the human race had become so polluted by that point, he had to start over. But here's another thing. Here's another point about all this lost world out here, this agnostic, disbelieving, no matter how much evidence you put in their face, they just refuse it. They're never going to accept the fact that aside from God dealing with this genetic evil of Satan's seed, the Nephilim, and wiping out, trying to keep them from wiping out the human race completely, that he has to punish evil, even within the human race. He cannot overlook persistent, continual evil. Why it says the wages of sin is death. And this is why Jesus came. God came in the flesh. He became a man, the feet of the woman, human being. And only his blood can deal with your sin. And the good news is he knows that we all cannot live obedient, moral, godly lives perfectly without his grace and help and without his forgiveness. So he provided the way. And you can say he's a tyrant if you want to. How many children thought their parents were tyrants? But they just don't understand. Daddy, I want to play out in the road. No. You're a tyrant. You're a bully. You're mean. The road's fun. There's things zooming by. It's all fun and exciting. But see, this is the way we are. I want to play with alcohol. I want to play with drugs. I want to play with sex outside of marriage. I want to play with homosexuality and bestiality and all kind of perversion. I want to play in the highway. And the Lord says, no, you can't. It will destroy you. It will destroy you here in your present life and for all eternity. It will destroy you, and I don't want you to be destroyed. Oh, you're a tyrant, God. You're a bully. Oh, okay. Then go and have a free will and do as you please and see how it works out. Now, if my child disobeys me and goes and plays in the highway, is it my fault that they get hit by a truck? But this is what the world does. They blame God when they get hit by the truck. Oh, God, you left suffering and pain in the world. No, he didn't. You chose to play in the highway, and now you don't like the fact that you got hit by a truck. How many diseases are in this world because men had sex with animals and passed it on? Oh, you think, I know it's sick and it's bad to say in front of kids, but it's in the Bible. Bestiality. But think about it. We say, why would God allow disease? Well, how many diseases did we bring into the human race by disobeying his laws and boundaries? I think we won't find out until we get into eternity. This is why everyone will not go to heaven. His laws, his rules, his boundaries are all there to try to protect you and protect others and bring you to a place where you will understand his love and his care for you, and that he's trying to get you to live forever in heaven with him because he loves you. He's not trying to keep stuff from you. He's not trying to take your fun away. But, Daddy, it's fun to play in the road. Nice and smooth and even and flat, and I can ride my bike in the Highway 29. You know, it would not be wise to ride a bike up and down Highway 29. That would people might forget you. Why they call Highway 431 the Highway of Death. Yeah, send your kids with a bunch of alcohol down 431. Go to Panama City. The Highway of Death. You see what I'm saying? You choose how you look at this. But let's look at God. If I could just get Christians to do this, maybe if we could get most Christians to look at God in the context of the Bible and understand that, yes, sometimes he judges sin and wicked people and evil people. And, yes, ultimately we will all stand before him and give an account for our lives. But it has nothing to do with him being a tyrant, a bully, mean, hateful. In fact, the Bible tells us over and over, it says, God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He even shows us we don't have to be perfect. Believe in him and just don't practice wickedness. I mean, I don't know what else he has to do. And this world hates. Christians are Christian. This guy, a Christian for 20 years. That's right. Leave. Walks away. And it's just blasting. And I'm like, you chose not to believe the whole book. I can't help that. Let me tell you something. If a race of zombies showed up, everybody knows what zombies are, right? Everybody's into zombies, right? Living dead. You know, what, how many shows? There's been World War Z, and I didn't even see it. I just saw the previews for it. And then there's been this, well, the one filmed in Georgia. What was that? The Walking Dead. And you're sitting there and you go, well, you know, if a bunch of zombies were coming, would anybody get mad if God wiped them all out? No. Because we go, yeah, those zombies are evil. Those zombies are just out to destroy us. Those zombies just want to eat us. Eat the flesh of the humans. But what we don't get is that it's real. That's what was happening. Go back and read the story. God was like, I am not going to allow the human race to be destroyed. So I'm going to have to wipe out the Nephilim. It's Nephilim. He's half breed. And see, they've been hiding for some time. I remember this. 1987. Pre-internet. Don't anybody say he got this from the internet. Before the internet. Some of you don't. You weren't even born before the internet. It's all you know. There's always been Google and Yahoo or AOL. Right? So I actually was walking with Jesus before the internet. Right? 1987. Great year. What's that? All right. I'm not even 50. Y'all can be. I am 48. So let me say this. My first convert was a girl who was into Satanism and witchcraft. She was in a coven, very powerful coven. And I worked with her at the time, and I didn't know it. I didn't know she was in it. I had just rededicated my life and repented of my sins and got serious about following Jesus and was praying and reading my Bible and quit drinking and smoking dope with them and hanging out. And they knew. And this guy went from, when I arrived in Eureka Springs, Arkansas in 1987, I was hellion. I was a little baby hellion, just into everything. Just give me the alcohol, give me the pornography, give me the drug. I don't care. Drink and drive without my seatbelt on. And if you said something to me, I'd knock the teeth out. I didn't care. Just didn't care. And then I get convicted of sin and really repent and come back to the Lord fully. Man, these people all around me freaked out. All these people. I worked in two different restaurants there. When somebody walks up to you and goes, "We've been watching you. We know you're a real Christian." I'm like, "We? What are you talking about? Psychos? We got a bunch of stalkers?" Right. And she began to tell me. She said, "No, I'm in a satanic coven. 1,500 people are in the coven." By 1,500 people, this town only has about 3,000 people in. She said, "Exactly. Mayor, police officers, the teachers, the nurses, the doctors. Oh, yeah, the people who played in the Passion Play, the Christian play that people came from all over. Christians came from all over in buses to go on these tours. All of them were Satanists in the play." Right. Went to a church there. First church, about 800 people. She said, "Yeah, almost all of them here are Satanists. They're all in the coven." I'm like, "Wow." Well, let me tell you. She got saved. They tried to kill me. They tried to kill her. Face to face, up close and personal. Getting shot at. Whole nine yards. Right, threats, black roses left at the door, right, death threats all the time. The cops locking me up one day without reason to lock me up, just locked me up, getting harassed. But you know what she told me? We were reading one day. Her mom, she was there, I was there, reading, just started, a Bible start, started reading Genesis, got to Genesis 6. About the giant, the nephew. This girl leaned forward to me, and she said, "You know that's real, don't you?" I said, "What?" She goes, "The giant, the nephew, the half-breed. You know that they're real." I said, "Well, I believe it because it's in here, it's in the book." She goes, "Oh, no, they're real." She said, they're hidden in caves down the ground. And she said, and these were her words. Now, this is a girl who just came to Jesus. She didn't have the teachings of end-time Bible prophecy. She didn't have the internet. She said, "We were told that they will not be brought out until the tribulation period." I'm like, I just filed that one in my file cabinet. And then years later, all this stuff begins to come out. I guess, oh, wow. So many different voices. Bill Schneider, what was his name? Talked about the underground bases and what they call aliens that are down there, our underground bases. Why won't they come above ground? God dang. They're coming, though, and they're going to claim to be aliens. It's going to get interesting in this world. This is why God has to do. And, you know, Folks, I don't understand this. Christian, if you're a Christian, I like this guy, this rapper, I don't understand why you can't just go, God, I don't know why you had to do everything that you did in the Old Testament or why you dealt with certain people groups. And maybe we know a little bit more than we did yesterday or whatever. So here's the thing. I can trust that God, who knows all, who knows the end from the beginning, who knows what's going to happen in the future and knows everything about the past, I can trust him that if he's got to take out somebody to stop some even greater evil, or he's got to do something, I can trust that he is doing what is best for all. I don't have to know every single reason why. I can give you a few. I can give you what's written in the scriptures that we ignore and avoid in the church world. But still, you know, well, what about this? What about this? We're not going to know everything. And that's where faith comes. Faith that I know that this Creator, who was willing to die on a cross for me, has my best interest at heart. And if I'll just obey him and follow him, he's going to do the right thing. And you know, this wicked world, they like, well, who is he? Who is he to come back and determine who's wicked? Look, the one who gave you life has the authority to take it. Right? The one who is perfect and knows everything and knows the end from the beginning has the right to judge you. And that's what they don't like. See, as Christians have admitted, we deserve it to be judged. And we've accepted the mercy and the forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his resurrection. They're choosing to reject that and to just shake their fist and go, you don't have a right to judge them. Well, guess what? Shaking their fist doesn't change his right. They don't fit in his place. They didn't create the human race and the earth and everything. You know, it's just like I've said, in my house, it's my rule. You don't like it? Hit the road, Jack. Right? Well, sad, because God's house is heaven. So if you don't like him, and you don't like his ways, and you don't like his rules, then there is not but one other house, highway to heaven. No stop sign, no speaking. You're not going to party with your friends, though. Right? There are consequences to action. All right, I'm going to quit. Did y'all learn something? Go back over these scriptures. Go back and make sure what Pastor Dean's saying is true. Maybe next time I'll bring all those different DNA tests and studies that have been done. That's where it gets really interesting. You're like, wow. But you can look it up. For real, watch the look up Ancient Aliens series. Watch the Star Child, Star Children episode. It's an hour long. I think you can find it on YouTube. Back. And then put it in the context of what the Bible says about this. You go, man, they're admitting that this stuff has been happening, and it is still happening. And see, these people, I believe these people, these are in charge of everything now. These half-breeds. I don't know, you look at Nathan, well, not Nathan, what's his name? Rothschild. Is it Nathan Rothschild? You know, the elder Rothschild. His head goes like this. Mm-hmm. He's got that elongated Nephilim skull. They're like, wow, you still got some of that, some of the traits in you. They say Halle Berry, you know, the Bible talks about the giants having six fingers on each hand, some of them, and six toes. They say Halle Berry has six toes on his feet. What is a little trace of that in there? It's genetic. Say goodbye to our Blog Talk Radio folks. We appreciate you being with us. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth. We thank you, God, that you give answers to many things. We don't answer everything. Lord, you said that the revealed things are for us, but the hidden things belong to you. Father, we can trust you that you love us, that you are a God of love, but you're also a God of justice and judgment. You will not completely and continually look away and ignore evil and evil people and evil beings. You have dealt with them in the past. You are dealing with some now, and you will deal with all of them at your second coming. I pray that many will come to know your love and your forgiveness and your mercy and your truth before it's too late. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.